Hey, it's Mike here. If you've just stumbled upon this podcast, you should know that Elise and I have done over 100 episodes covering the entire Sex and the City series, as well as the films. So check those out and make sure to change your settings to play in sequential order. Also, check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Here's the show. Hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So here we are, here, and just like that, the two of us are here.
Here we are.
Recording. You know, the last time we recorded, I have my notes still, was November 23rd, 2020. So it's been over a year.
Well, we did that little mini episode, but...
That's true. Other than the mini.
Wow.
The last time we recapped something, it's been over a year.
Well, here we are. Welcome back.
So we have a lot to cover, listeners. So we are gonna jump right in. We are covering the episode, I guess it's season one. Episode one.
But hold on really quick. We're not going to do But Hold On this week because you've already sent me so many But Hold Ons. We're going to wait until next week so everyone else can catch up too.
Sounds great. All right. So today's episode is called Hello, It's Me. It first aired December 9th, 2021. It is written and directed by Michael Patrick King. So we head right in. I had a moment where I was like, is this going to be a cold open? Are we going to have... an opening credit sequence of some kind. So I wasn't sure because we jump right into the action. We're at Klee, which is fictional.
Which is not real.
Yeah, not real. Yeah. And we start out with, remember when we had to legally stand 6 feet apart from each other? So should we address this right off the bat?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, so we are establishing right away that we are in a post-COVID world. COVID exists in this world, but much like Eternal Spring in Sex and the City, they have decided that we are in an eternal post-pandemic world. So New York City does not look like this. People are still a little bit more cautious, wearing masks. You have to wear masks on subways. You can't go into a restaurant if you're not vaccinated. They check IDs at the door, like all of this stuff. But Sex and the City has decided that everything's pretty much back to normal, with kind of acknowledging in small bits that COVID was a thing.
Which I appreciated. I didn't feel the need for them to have everyone in masks all the time.
No.
You know, the way that I think about it, they talk about how Sex and the City lives in the real world. But it's always sort of adjacent to the real world. Like, they never addressed September 11th. Like, there was it altered the mood of the show a bit, and there was sort of an homage to, like, downtown New York. But I sort of like that it's pseudo real world, and I think that that's fine.
And also, it's an excuse for Carrie Bradshaw to wear a mesh glove.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to that. So yeah, Miranda misses having to stand apart from each other, and sometimes I do too.
Yeah, same. Absolutely.
So we immediately get to Bitsy. We have Julie Halston.
Which, I have only seen the first episode. I know they dropped both on the 9th. I made a choice to not watch the second, so it didn't influence my commentary on the first. And I was wondering, like, is Bitsy only here for this question? Like, is that why they brought her back?
Yeah, I'll be curious. I as well. I made the same decision. I have not watched the second episode. I will say that just now, as I was finishing up my notes, it started to play the second episode. So I've seen the first 3 seconds. Disturbing. But that's all that I'll say. We'll wait until we get to it. So yeah, we've only seen the first episodes. And I do like her thing of, like, do we hug or bump elbows? Do we send smoke signals?
Because that is a thing too.
Very much a thing. Some people don't want to shake hands, which I always kind of like feel it out. Or we're bumping fists here.
Mm-hmm.
But we get right to the question. We're not going to waste any time. Where's Samantha?
Samantha is no longer with us.
Which I thought was a nice way to address it. But no, she's in London.
She is in London, and you can tell there's some tension, but the girls don't bring it up to Bitsy.
Correct. And Bitsy assumes that anyone she hasn't seen in a while has either passed or moved to Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone yells her name off screen, and off she goes.
There we are. An itsy bitsy bitsy bit.
There we go. And yeah, Carrie's table is ready. And so we have a little bit of a theme music kick in, and there's the title, and I guess we're not going to have an opening credit sequence. And I don't know if that remains true, but I thought it was kind of smart.
Yeah, and I really liked that the opening credits and the song were very close to the original, and that, you know, that ending little intro was the same melody. And I liked that it felt 90s-ish. That and just like that felt very 90s.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the first movie where we got that Fergalicious moment with
right.
The theme. We didn't have to do that again. And here we are, like, back with now three ladies at lunch.
Three ladies at a table. And I want to say that we'll get into our general feelings at the end. It did take me half a scene to adjust. Like, I remember watching it the first time and being like, is this a parody? Is this real? Like, it just felt so odd to see them together that it took me about half a scene to relax into the show.
Well, and also with the three ladies at lunch, like, I know we're not talking about COVID, but there's a QR code on the table. I looked for salt and peppers, couldn't see it. It might be an on-request only thing for sanitation.
Uh-huh.
But one thing I did notice when they were sitting here, and maybe you did as well, and also these women are 20 years older, but I had a moment of watching these three women, these women in their 50s, at lunch and thinking, oh my gosh, I don't like these women because I wait on these women.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was, you know, because when they were in their 30s and they were going to the diner and it was different, and now they're different. So they're at a more elevated restaurant and it's a different way that they act in the world as parents. And I, for a moment, was like, do I not like these women? But we'll get there.
Yeah, Miranda has a few moments that I was like, Miranda, what's going on? Yeah, Miranda stepped on a used condom this morning with bare feet. And I do like the, are we getting fries? And she says, I stepped on my son's semen before coffee. Of course we're getting fries.
And how old is Brady? 17?
You know what? That's a good question. I should have looked into that better. But yeah, he's in his later teen years.
Well, I did find out two things. Number one, we have a friend that this happened to. I won't put her on blast, but she was nannying for a younger child, and
yes,
it happened to her with like the older, who I also think was in college. Like, it happened when she was getting something out of their room. And number two, I found out today Miranda and I have the same birthday. Not Cynthia Nixon, Miranda Hobbs. Her birthday is July 17th, 1966, and my birthday is July 17th, 19.
More parallels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did have that thought of, I know that most of the things that happen on the show come from reality, and I just had that thought of, like, that's really happened to people.
Yeah, and it happened to a friend of ours.
Yeah.
And then in that moment, Carrie also, Carrie refers to the server as the wait person.
Yeah, I kind of like that, actually.
She says, where is the wait person with the check? Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. Well, because we have, you know, Miranda blames Steve and herself because they like Brady's girlfriend, Louisa, so they let her stay. Charlotte points out that it's a good thing he's using protection, which is pretty great on this show because, we don't have a lot of using protection on this program. And I do like that Carrie makes a condom half full joke. Yeah. Anyways, there you go. And then, yeah, she asked Miranda when school starts.
Right.
And spring semester starts next week. So it's spring. So I thought it was good to establish, like, all right, we are doing the spring thing. We are beginning. It's springtime. Yeah, Charlotte refers to Miranda dyeing her hair. And immediately this is when Charlotte says, where's that darned wait person with the check? Because she wants out already.
Carrie says that, yeah.
Yes.
And I immediately was like, oh, this is one of the first times that I was like, thank God they gave Cynthia Nixon good hair. I love her hair gray.
I love her hair too. I think it looks fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, so back off, Charlotte. But it also does kind of establish that Charlotte York Goldenblatt in her 50s looks like the most vain, like the one that's most about like keeping up appearances and the Upper East Side look.
She kind of always was, though. I mean, and I guess it's cuter when you're in your 30s and
right,
you get to a point where it's
not,
like,
yeah, it's not about like when you're in your 30s, it's like, I like to wear fun things. But when you're in your 50s, I think that's when we see her do more of the like, are you going to change yourself?
Right.
You know,
and I like that Charlotte says that it ages Miranda, and Miranda says, no, it ages you, like it because you're at a table with someone that looks like this, and it makes you, you know, feel like you can't pretend to be a different age. And Charlotte denies that she's trying to be another age. She proudly says that she's 55 and she wants a medal. And then Carrie is apparently pretending to be 44.
Yeah.
It was kind of a strange little drop in there, but it's fine.
How do you feel about that, Mike?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker looks great, I think. And I love her hair. I think it looks beautiful and very full and probably not all real. Oh, she's trying to be me. I look pretty good. We'll just leave it at that. Yeah, Miranda's getting a master's in human rights to go with her law degree because we can't just stay who we were. I like that line. This is we're going to hear it again, but I enjoyed it. And then I do like that Charlotte brings up, she says Ruth Bader Ginsburg dyed her hair, and then Carrie says mic drop. And that was my first laugh out loud of the series. I think it was right about that I was like, okay, I'm going to relax. I'm going to enjoy this. This is funny.
Right. Everyone knows their roles. Everyone is like falling into it. And I noticed that too when I was watching a lot of Charlotte's mannerisms, Kristen Davis. I was like, oh, it must have been fun for them to just like sit down and be able to fall back into character.
I bet it was a blast.
Yeah, she's still Charlotte. And then Carrie whips out her iPhone.
Yeah, I like the way I put a gentle person with a very unusual hat walks through and Carrie is filming it for her Instagram.
Yeah, it's great because Carrie does not have the latest iPhone in true Carrie fashion.
Right.
She has like an older version with a home button. And also in Carrie fashion, there's like the NYC I voted sticker on the back of it. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I like that too.
And so about this hat that the person is wearing, it's a brand called Essential. It's E-S-E-N-S-H-E-L. The designer is Rodney Patterson. And I found that by following the And Just Like That Costumes Instagram account.
Oh, cool.
And it's really interesting when you go to the Essential Instagram page, some really, really cool hats, a lot of stuff that's been worn by Billy Porter. So yeah, just check it out. I wanted to give a little like nod to
that's cool.
Rodney there. The shop is on East 4th Street, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So Carrie says that it was just for fun at first, but now that I'm on that podcast, so we have our first little podcast note, it's her Instagram is going somewhere, and then Miranda starts with the podcast hate.
Mm-hmm. Which I, though, you know, I was having this conversation with a friend yesterday who's one of my dearest friends who was like, I still haven't listened. And because Miranda's excuse is I draw the line at podcasts. And I was like, you know what? I get it. Like, I understand being a creative person. We all have so many projects going on that it's like, it's hard to catch up. I will listen to your podcast. I usually draw the line at like your cabaret.
Yeah, that's
right? Like my podcast does not have a 2-drink minimum, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So Charlotte ran into LTW and Miranda says, great, I don't know what that means. And it was my second laugh. And now I'll stop keeping track. But I got two laughs in and I thought, all right.
Here, Mike's good to go.
Yeah, I'm good to go. We're good. So it's Lisa Todd Wexler. I do like that Carrie asks, is LTW a person or a sorority you hope to pledge?
And it turns out to kind of be both, right? Like Charlotte's really trying to get in with this person.
Yeah, I like, she's just so cool. We find out that she's a documentarian and a humanitarian, and her husband is an investment banker who may run for mayor, International Vogue best dress list. It's a lot of information that Charlotte knows from doing being on the parent school board.
And I'm not sure if you caught this, but I thought it was an interesting choice that Miranda kind of mouths thank you to the server.
Oh, yeah. I 100% saw that.
And I thought of that just as like, that's a choice, I think, because Carrie had like referred to the server as the wait person. And these women are like more elevated. And I think they're a little bit like, I don't know. And I think that was kind of the moment of like, Miranda still acknowledges, you know, the service workers around her.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but that was what I chose to believe.
I saw that. And then we also established that that Lisa's son is in the same piano studies that Lily studies with, just like we're reading little connections that are coming up here, which also prompts Charlotte to remind Carrie about the recital later this week. And Carrie says that she and Big are driving east and can't make it. Charlotte tries to convince her to drive out later, citing that the concert is at the Manhattan School of Music, which she says many, many times.
Yes. And so this is the first time in this series that we are made aware that Carrie and Big are still together.
Right. Yeah, she says she'll talk to Big. And then Lisa shows up. This is Nicole Ari Parker. Kind of, I guess, best known. She was in Boogie Nights. She was in the Soul Food series that was on television. Remember the Titans? She was on a couple episodes of Younger and Revolution, that both are shows that I watch. She was the latter seasons of Empire, which I didn't watch that all the way to the end, so I don't know it as well. There was a piece of trivia that her daughter was born with spina bifida, and I only bring that up because Charlotte went to a charity for it, so that was a very random little thing that I noticed there. And we got some chunky jewelry.
Mm-hmm. But she said it's, she immediately is like going into why she bought the jewelry,
yeah.
You know, and it's a new artist. And
she asked for their fries. I don't know. I'm a big fry fan, but this felt strange to me.
Well, this is when I wrote, I don't like these women, because there's like a who ordered fries and like someone being ashamed to say they were the one that ordered the fries. And then can I have one? And I just like wanted, I don't know. I get it. It's real. Like that does happen. But I just wanted them to be women that are like, who ordered these fries? That's not enough. Let's get three more baskets and where's the side of ranch? You know, like
Which is far more realistic.
Yeah, but also not realistic with
these,
like this is when I was like, oh, did they become different? Like, are they not going to eat cake out of the garbage anymore?
Gotcha. Yeah. So Carrie has to go to her podcast, which is like jury duty now. And Miranda is off too. And I will say that I had noticed the Oscar de la Renta garment bags from earlier in the scene. But this is where Lisa asks about that. And we find out that it's dresses for Lily and Rose because she wanted them to have something special for Lily's big night. Lisa is certain her son is going to do badly. And we learn that her mother-in-law is a world-renowned concert pianist and a pain in her ass. And then her friends call and off she goes.
Bye, Lisa.
So then we have Miranda and Carrie across the street from Radio City Music Hall. So apparently this restaurant was in Midtown somewhere. And Miranda tells Carrie not to worry about making the recital. The teacher rents the space. It's the Park Avenue equivalent of every kid gets a trophy.
Yeah, so it's not actually like she's teaching class at Manhattan School of Music.
Right.
It's or taking lessons there. It's just where it is. Kind of like when I was in marching bands and we would take a trip to New York and rent out. We rented out a hall that was across the street from Carnegie Hall to play at. Take a class at. But also, I know you said it must mean that restaurant is in Midtown. It doesn't, because we are going to learn that they shot in Midtown a lot of things. But a lot of things are not actually, we'll get there.
I just mean we're imagining that the restaurant, the Klee, that does not exist,
right.
Probably was somewhere around this area. But yeah, there's a lot of things that shoot in places. Well, yeah, we have a lot to say about that. Carrie says that Charlotte's been a supportive friend and listens to the podcast. And then Miranda changes the subject pretty quickly. And we get into, it's like she's dead. We never talk about her. What is there to say? And then we get the Samantha story.
Yeah, I told her that because of, you know, what the book business is now, it just didn't make sense for me to keep her on as a publicist. She said fine and then fired me as a friend.
She didn't fire you.
Okay, she stopped returning my calls.
You know Samantha. Her pride got damaged.
Which was why I kept leaving her voicemails asking her to please call me back so we could talk about this and fix it. Look, I understand that she was upset, but I thought I was more to her than an ATM.
You are. She was embarrassed.
So embarrassed she took a job and moved to London?
You know, friend breakups are... It's said often that friend breakups are harder than, oftentimes harder than, like, romantic breakups.
And I have mixed feelings about giving this specific of a story, because part of me thought, like, ooh, we're really establishing what happened, and I don't know how that speaks to the future if... Listen, I'm going to go on record right now and say I don't imagine Kim Cattrall ever coming back to the series, but I like the idea of a world in which it's at least possible.
Yeah, and I think this was a great way to make it possible, because... Like, there is a way that she will never come back, because this is pretty serious and she moved to London and she may hold this resentment to her dying days, or something may happen. You know, who knows? Yeah, but it's sad. And the fact that she's not talking to the other women either.
Yeah, because Carrie asked if Miranda spoken to her and she hasn't, and neither has Charlotte, and they called and texted and nothing. And what if Carrie tries and she says that she has and nothing, and kind of that's all we can do. But I like that then this little scene ends with, you know, Miranda saying, Carrie, my hair. And Carrie just saying,
fabulous.
There you go. So then Charlotte's getting home. Lily is with the dog. And this is all, that's all the greeting I get after I rescued you. And Lily asks who she's talking to, which is a funny little joke.
Yeah, the dog's name is Burton, which we find out is then Richard Burton, which is a nice play off of Elizabeth Taylor.
Elizabeth Taylor, there we go. Yeah.
I caught that. Are you think I'm smart?
You're very smart. Yes, I like it.
I just wrote, I love Lily. Like, I love that she... I love Lily and Rose, but we haven't met Rose yet. But, like, I just love that Lily is, like, you can tell that she knows who she is, but she's also funny and she's sweet. And even though she ruined Carrie's first wedding, I just really like her.
Yeah, she's pretty great. And she sees the dress and asks who the other is for and seems incredulous that Rose is ever going to like that dress, which is our quick cut to then Rose is here with Harry. And I do like, you better not have your hands on those walls again. What kind of house are you running?
What, that he has his hands on the walls?
No, that he's not allowed to put his hands on the walls.
Well, it does make, I mean... Remember when he sat, like, naked and on her white couch and I thought he was going to get poopy marks on there?
That is very different from, like, you can't touch a wall.
No. I mean, not in people's houses who you can't touch walls, because it does leave marks.
I hope to never go to someone's house where I can't. Not that I'm walking around touching walls. I don't know. It just seemed like a lot to me.
I mean, I bet if we went to, like, Barbara Streisand's house, I bet you can't touch her walls.
Rose does not seem impressed with the dress and says, define pretty. So there we go. So we get to Carrie and Biggs.
I just want to say something really quick. This was the moment for me that I started to get like a little emotional, because I realized in this moment, I had this like thought that, you know, I talk about it on the podcast that I grew with this show. I didn't start watching the show till I was in my 30s. And I feel like I grew with this show. And then when I'm watching this moment of like Carrie and Big and the girls all grown up, and I realized that like, life is long and it's complicated and there's a lot of stuff that happens, and like, quit worrying about what's happening like in this moment. Like, life is just so big. And I just started, I don't know, it just gave me this moment of like, things are okay, which was a nice comfort from Sex and the City. Gave me that moment for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, he does the hey kid thing, so we're still calling her a kid. She's a half hour late. He had a good day. Money's in sports. Who cares? She talks about fish. They trade some barbs. It's a strange conversation that we don't have to talk that much about, but we do get to the album du jour. Mm-hmm. She calls him Mr. Big. I think that is funny.
Yeah.
Like, she says to his face, Mr. Big. So that's happening. Last night was Ronstadt, so tonight is Todd Rundgren.
Love Ronstadt. Good taste.
Uh-huh. So they've been playing an album every night since the third night of lockdown. And tonight we put on the song Hello, It's Me from Something Anything, which was an album from 1972. And just for the record, this song is definitely not the first song on that album. It's like song 22 out of 25, but that's all right. This song somehow plays first. Also, my television is insane. I've watched it twice now. And both times when this song starts playing, French subtitles come on saying the lyrics to this song. So does that happen to anyone else? Because literally both times I get like French subtitles.
I didn't notice it on my TV at that moment, but maybe. And I do watch with the subtitles, so I'm not sure.
So strange.
Also,
so,
every time that they were saying this, I just in my head was going, hello, it's me. Like over.
Yeah, it's kind of impossible not to, of course. So Carrie asks if they can stay in town for Olivia's concert, and he says yes, but he will not be attending. He's going to stay home with Allegra, which we establish is a Peloton instructor, and it will be his 1,000th ride. Just lots of random little things we're learning
here.
Yeah,
I mean, the Peloton thing became super. It was a class before that you would go to. And then it became the at-home biking became huge, obviously, during the pandemic. So he would have had to have been riding before this religiously for a very long time, and then at least every single day to get to 1,000 rides.
Yeah,
like it's not just a pandemic thing. He asks her to salt the fish, and at that moment while she's salting it, he goes, that's enough salt. And in that moment, I said, something's going to happen with his heart.
Interesting. All right.
That was my first clue.
So Miranda is emerging from the subway. She's at 116th and Columbia and catches sight of her hair in the bar window and gets an idea. To be clear, Smith's Bar and Grill is not anywhere near Columbia. It's on 44th and 8th. And I also feel like when she enters the clearly not open establishment, you can see the Smith sign across the street now. It's kind of a weird, yeah, it's a strange filming thing that they've done here, which is, it's all fine. Why does no one ask her to leave?
He says we're not open, and she's just like, I'm just going to sit here then.
Yeah, she decides to wait for them to open to have a glass of Chablis, and does Miranda have a drinking problem?
You know what? You're the 8th person that said this to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it at first, but our friend Annabelle last night texted me because of this and because of something that happens later in the episode and is like, oh, I think girl, like, is going to, you know, have a drinking problem. And then, you know, I mean, it makes sense. Like, we have the same birthday. Neither one of us can drink safely. So, you know, Miranda can reach out to me if she has questions about what
to do next.
It's
nice of you to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a now tipsy Miranda off to class, and she enters a room of young people who all suddenly become quiet. I'm like, be cool, guys. And she sits in the professor's chair and then moves across the room and feels the need to tell the next person who sits that that's the professor's chair. And this scene is quickly a nightmare.
It's just a lot of Miranda getting a lot of things wrong.
That's where the professor sits. Sorry, he just told me.
Someone's quick with the pronouns.
It's fine. I am the professor.
You're the professor?
Yeah.
You're Naya Wallace?
Yes. Why do you seem so surprised?
Well, your braids.
A law professor can't have hair like mine? Why is that?
Oh, no. I didn't mean because of the braids. I was just thrown because the braids are so different than the hair in your photo on the Columbia website. My comment had nothing whatsoever to do with it being a black hairstyle. I knew that you were black when I signed up for this class. That was important to me.
You signed up for this class because I'm black?
Well, not just because you're black. I picked this class because you're such a force in academia, on top of everything you do as a community activist. God, I sound like such a brown nose. I mean, please just forget that I ever said anything about your hair. Hair has nothing whatsoever to do with appropriateness or intelligence or gravitas, obviously. I mean, do I look like someone who attaches any significance to hair? I let mine go gray, and I don't care if it makes me look old. Not that I'm ageist. Do I sound ageist?
You really want me to answer that question?
And in this moment was when I said, okay, good job. You are trying to show us that these women are problematic.
Yeah.
Because they got that wrong a lot in the 90s and the 2000s.
We've met now Dr. Nia Wallace. This is Karen Pittman. She was in The Americans, Luke Cage, Homeland. She's currently on The Morning Show, which I know you just started watching.
I've watched 1.5 episodes.
I love it. And I love her, actually. I really do love her as an actress. I think she's fantastic. We learned that this class is Policies and Principles of Humanitarian Law, and Miranda should probably just drop out.
Yeah. Miranda's what we call a non-traditional student.
So we're in the studio for X, Y, and Me. Interesting title. It's fine. And we have Carrie, Jackie Nee, played by Bobby Lee. I know him mostly from Chelsea Handler's old talk show.
That's where I know him from. Okay.
Yeah, he was on that quite a bit. Che Diaz, who, and they describe themselves as both and neither, a queer, non-binary Mexican-Irish diva.
Woke moment!
And yes, I know that no one person can represent all the genders and sexual orientations or an entire race, and I fully acknowledge that we are complicated, diverse beings here on this wondrous planet, all just striving to be our very best self. Many of us just trying to get laid.
And I wrote, I mean, we'll get more to this, but I wrote, who the F is that guy in the control room?
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I did. I mean, but I didn't notice him the way you did. I actually really noticed Che Diaz. I was like, oh my gosh, like, Sara Ramirez is hot in this.
Yeah, Sara's pretty sexy. I mean, the first thing that I saw Sara in was You've Got Mail.
Mm-hmm.
One scene, very funny. And then we both saw Sara as Lady in the Lake
in Spamalot.
Yeah. And then they're probably best known for Grey's Anatomy, which they were on for many years.
Right, right. But I just, you know, I in this moment too, and maybe it's the character, like I love their work in this, and I love the, I don't know, like the cadence that they, everything about it was just, they're doing a really great job. And I just,
yeah, absolutely.
One thing that made me laugh out loud about this scene was actually on Instagram. Michael Kushner wrote that Carrie is wearing the full Heart of the Ocean in this scene. And I didn't notice it. And if you look,
I didn't even
she
notice.
Has that like whole necklace on, and it's really insane. So yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Funny. So the question we get into is, strangely enough, why don't we see women masturbating on the subway? I think the better question is, why do men? Like,
right,
I don't know.
Why do
I don't
we
know
see
why
anyone doing that?
Yeah, this you should keep that to yourself. We have a whole masturbation line of conversation. I also do want to point out that you can't see this, but anytime that I typed masturbation into my iPod, it like questioned the spelling. Like my iPod doesn't recognize that as a word, apparently.
Maybe you can't spell masturbation.
Or maybe my iPod is the Carrie.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Carrie gets very flummoxed and she'd like to buy a vowel, please, and not since Barney's closed. It's all fine, but you can tell that she's not doing great, that she's not super
shocker
able to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we're now on the street with Andre, Dr. Wallace's husband. We don't know that for a second. They're talking IVF, and then she steals, I said, and then she sees a still maybe plastered Miranda. Like, Miranda is still just like kind of staring at her. And
yeah, I mean, in this moment, I didn't recognize the drinking. So I just thought Miranda's really awkward and she's been out of the world for 2 years. So perhaps because a lot of people are like that right now.
Maybe. Yeah. So we do establish quickly that Andre is in a band and she's not feeling great after the IVF that she's gone through. But we kind of cut the conversation short because Miranda wants to introduce herself in a non-manic way. And I'm like, yeah. It's not working.
Just stop. Go away.
We do get a little backstory on Miranda, though, that we learned that she left corporate law because she didn't want to be a part of the problem anymore. She talks about when the Muslim ban went into effect and people going to JFK and how she went as well because wearing a pink pussy hat wasn't enough for her. And Dr. Wallace does have a moment where she's like, I can't really hear what you're saying. And Miranda says that's probably for the best. And then Miranda gets on the train and the doctor does not. That seems pretty purposeful.
Yeah, I mean, she just goes to obviously another car.
Another car. Very awkward. So these are the
which we've all done before.
For sure. So now we have Carrie putting on her gloves for the elevator buttons and handrails.
Right. Carrie never uses a glove that's functional. In the middle of the winter, she'll do cut off fingers. And this one she's doing like, this is for my protection, but it's chainmail.
Yeah. Che basically tracks down Carrie to say that Carrie needs to dialogue with them more. And they ride down together and Che is smoking on the elevator.
I couldn't tell. I mean, I'm not a marijuana smoker, and that looked like a vape and a bowl. So I'm not sure if that's actual smoke that comes out or what, but it didn't seem to be clouding the elevator.
Okay.
But either way, I know it's not right to do.
Yeah. It basically says Carrie can't just sit there giggling.
Right. And that, you know, you had this sex column in the 90s. I want to be like, yeah, Che, read it. She was uncomfortable then, too.
Yeah, she called her the OG.
Yeah, and says you need to step your pussy up.
Yeah.
And this is when I said I really like that they're showing the flaws of these women. Because yeah. Che is saying, like, if you're going to be a sex columnist, then you have to talk about sex. You have to do things differently.
Which is the thing that we've, the thing that we've always talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to Carrie at her computer writing bad stuff about masturbation, mm-hmm. and she sees Big and goes in to see him and asks if he masturbates, and he's also evasive, and we kind of have a little bit of Big at Chipotle, like...
I like that he's reading the actual paper in bed.
Yeah, very old-fashioned.
And not like an iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very uncomfortable conversation because they're making it uncomfortable, and then she's like, masturbate for me, and I'm like, no, this I hope he doesn't.
Yeah, he says he's gonna get some lube, and I wrote, I'm honestly uncomfortable now.
Yeah, because he's not 30 anymore. And in this moment, and then she makes the comment about, like, are you going to grab your emergency blah 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 pill? And he's like, no, I need lube, I'm not 30 anymore. And that was the moment where I'm like, okay, they've referenced his heart twice. Something's gonna happen.
So she goes into her closet. And do we think she says hello, lovers, every time she looks at her shoes?
Probably not.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I just was like, I guess it's a moment just for us. And we see the blue shoes. Did you recognize these?
Mm-hmm, of course.
So, okay, so now it's my turn. So she goes out to find Big smoking a cigar. And I didn't take notes the first time that I watched this, but this was when I thought, I think he's going to die.
Mm-hmm. Because she mentions you having your cigar and Allegra on the same night.
Yes. And it was right in there that I was like, I hadn't had the inclination before, but it hit me really hard all at once right now that I was like, oh, I think I know how this episode's going to end.
Yeah. And for me, I was like, I hope he doesn't do it when he's whacking it. Sorry, I said it because it made me think of King of the Hill. Bobby, stop whacking it in the tool room.
So he recognizes the wedding shoes, and then Carrie sort of wonders if she gets back after the concert early enough, they can maybe head out. And he says it depends on how worn out he is after Allegra.
And she puts on a blazer with a big flower.
Yeah, and Carrie tells Big to text her so that she knows whether to go out for a drink. And we have that just a moment where she says, what? And he says, I'm just looking at you. And I was full on doom mode at this point.
Mm-hmm. And I was also pissed because we're finally getting the Big that Carrie deserved. Well, no, I don't know if she deserved what she deserved because she has a lot of shit. We're finally getting a Big that looks like they can show up in a relationship.
Yeah, but that's the right.
And maybe they've been able to for the past 20 years. Who knows?
Who knows? Or at least the last couple of years.
Right.
So Charlotte's trying to get Rose to put on the dress because she wants them all in florals. And why can't she just wear what she wants to wear? And then Harry offers to wear the dress.
Yeah, Harry's a great dad.
Yeah, and kind of together, he's like, you know, Rose, can you please wear it? And Charlotte asks, pretty please. And then we cut to outside the venue where she is wearing it, mm-hmm. but wearing it in her own way.
Yeah, with like one of those hats that you get at the Christmas villages and a tuxedo t-shirt. And
I do love, I love that Carrie loves it.
Yeah, I love that Carrie loves it. I love Rose. I love that, like, Charlotte didn't fight her on it. Was just like, I mean, who knows what it was, but you can just tell that they're, I don't know. I liked it.
They're cool girls. Like, cool. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. Like, they seem like fun, cool teenage girls. And if television drama has taught me anything, is that those don't happen very often.
No.
So what is Anthony call her?
What the hell is up with that getup? She looks like a little Edie Beale, which, you know, yeah. I loved.
I thought you would like that. I knew you would enjoy that one.
Yeah. I mean, I love anything Edie Beale. And she doesn't look like a little Edie Beale. Well, kind of does, actually. But Yeah,
I see what he's going for. And Charlotte says not to talk like that in front of the Manhattan School of Music. So it's fortunate that they are not anywhere near the Manhattan School of Music.
No, because they are actually in Times Square.
Yeah, they're at the Lyceum. And I want to say that it was my third guess. I was like, is that City Center? No.
Mm.
Is that Town Hall? No. Is that the Lyceum? Yes, it is. So my third guess, I figured out what theater they were in front of. I was just there a week ago.
I always say Lyceum.
You know what? I say it both. I don't know which one is correct. I've definitely said Lyceum. I've definitely said Lyceum. So I'm dumb half the time. I don't know which half, though.
Lick 'em.
Harry hasn't seen Steve-O in a while and tells him to bust a move. Sure. Okay.
Seems about right. And we established that Steve has hearing aids.
Because he's like 60% deaf in one ear and mm-hmm. 40% deaf in the other. I'm like 40% deaf in one ear as well.
And Steve's still hot.
Yeah. He's keeping it tight. We get a brief glimpse of new Brady. We're not going to get into that too much right now because we don't have a lot going on with his character. Charlotte wants to get Lily backstage, and Lily's not nervous. You know, good for her. Carrie asks Anthony where his better half is. He's still deciding what to wear. We get that there's some tension going on here. Stanford gets there, and I've never been a huge Stanford fan. I've never been super into him as the gay best friend, but I'm going to say that I got a little emotional as he got out of the taxi cab with the knowledge that Willie Garson is not with us anymore, that I started to really like kind of choke up, but I was only there for a moment because the scene moves on very quickly with Stanford very upset saying like, you left, you just left. And I will say that Carrie's, oh, we're not in the same place, was the biggest laugh of the episode for me. Like, I laughed pretty uproariously at Sarah Jessica Parker's delivery of that line. I thought it was pretty good.
I thought, like, seeing Stanford, and now we can say, like, Stanthony, they're still together.
Yeah.
Seeing Stanford come out of that cab was, like, he has not changed.
Oh, no, not at all.
1998 Stanford walked out of that cab, like, looking for Big Tool for you in that moment.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Stanford asked Steve if he would ever just leave, and we have that fun thing with Steve doing. He's like,
he couldn't figure out what to wear, but he's been wearing the same thing for 30 years, so I think he's fine.
Yeah. And Steve gets to do his like deaf guy act of like, huh? What did he say?
Mm-hmm.
Anthony goes in. We have a little series of like Anthony saying, Carrie has your ticket. Stanford has this moment of like, have I given you a kiss hello yet? And, you know, gives Carrie a little kiss. And Carrie asks what that was. And he says, us on a good night. So trouble in not paradise. Things have not been great with them ever, for the record. Like, I don't feel like from meeting until now, it's never been like a great relationship. So I'm not sure what we're supposed to do with that. But we have Miranda talking about her situation and worrying that she could have become a meme. She said all the wrong things. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what more to say about the Miranda situation as far as that goes.
Yeah, I guess more will be revealed, right?
Yeah, and this nothing really happens here. She has to pee and decides to use the men's room because there's no line. I guess it depends on the makeup. I was at a show just the other night and the men's line was insanely long. So I guess it depends on what show it is.
It also depends on the theater, because now most theater spaces are like, we don't care what bathroom you use.
True. That is true. So Carrie brings up the podcast situation and how she has to get more graphic. And Miranda says that's not who she is. And we get the we can't stay who we were line again. So I think we're establishing this theory of like, everyone has to evolve and move on. And a gentleman enters, and that's kind of it, where we get to the auditorium and we find out that Stanford is in the balcony. And I do wonder if it was written that way or if this was filmed later on. I don't have an answer to that. But Anthony's cruising for hot guys for his bread company. Did you understand what this was?
Like, yes, because I've seen stuff on Instagram. So Anthony owns a bread company. Do you remember Big Booty Bread Company in Chelsea?
It sounds familiar.
Like, that's what I immediately thought of. So I think Anthony has some sort of delivery bakery service where he has like,
okay,
scantily clad men as like models or delivery people. Also, did Willie Garson pass? Like, I assumed he was going to be in more episodes.
He's going to be in more episodes. I just don't know if they film. They don't necessarily film
in
these
order.
Exactly. Correct. And I don't, once again, I don't want to assert that he was supposed to be in this scene, but I my understanding from reading a thing with Michael Patrick King is they did not film everything with him that they wanted to.
Okay.
So I don't know for sure. It could be that it was written this way. It just made me sort of wonder. I wish they would stop saying boys, like he's cruising for boys. We just say guys or men or something like that.
I mean,
like,
it's Anthony.
Say boys so many times. I guess so. I don't like it. Miranda has purse wine and I remain concerned.
Yep. Now I see it. I didn't see it before, you know, but okay. Someone had to take over for Samantha's substance abuse.
I guess so. Yeah. So Lisa arrives with her mother-in-law, Eunice. This actress is Pat Bowie. And I didn't write any credits, but she's an interesting one to look up because she worked quite a bit like in the 90s and then not again until only very recently. Hmm. So I'd be curious to know what her career was and the choices that she made. So anyways, she seems interesting.
I'm going to correct you. It's Eunice. And I know that because my great grandmother was Eunice.
Gotcha. Eunice. Apologies. Apologies to all the Eunices. She seems interesting. Lisa approves of the wine, but then is immediately referred to by Anthony as Black Charlotte.
Right.
We'll just let that sit there. Chris Jackson arrives. We'll get more to him later on in episodes, but this is the husband that we've heard spoken of. His son is on stage.
Bombing.
Yeah, it does not go well. I say that Herbert adjusts his seat a lot and is not good. I like the moment that Harry kind of snatches the hat off of Rose.
Steve takes out his hearing aids.
Yeah. We're with Allegra, who's, for the record, her name is Jess King. She really is a trainer. I'm not sure if she's a trainer for Peloton.
Okay.
Did you read Peloton's statement?
No.
It's pretty good. We can look at that later on. But they did release a statement about all of this. And we get to the Peloton for a quick second. We get back to the auditorium where we have them making out. And Miranda says Steve needs to say something this time. And Brady refuses to be sex shamed, which, to be clear, is not what's happening here.
No.
Like, you're just making out in an auditorium, and that's not great.
And one of our friends had to call at a table at a restaurant for making out, like, tremendously. And she just went, it's inappropriate. You're at a restaurant.
Yeah, and it's true.
Yeah.
Like, a smoky dark bar is one thing, but like a restaurant or an auditorium, no, let's keep ourselves together. And yeah, Lily begins to play and is amazing.
No, Lily is amazing. And little known fact about me, I came in first place at the American Guild of Music piano competition for playing If I Only Had a Brain.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm not.
These are important facts to get out there.
I'm not quite the Lily status, but.
I cannot play the piano. I took piano for a year, and halfway through the year, my piano teacher said to me, maybe we just focus on theory. So if that tells you anything about my piano skills.
Well, I stopped taking piano lessons because I was playing Go, Go, Go Joseph or Jacob and Sons, one of the two from Joseph Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And I kept messing up and she picked up the book and threw it at me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I no longer, but I can still play every song I was working on up until the point where she throws the book at me.
I can play the intro to On My Own. And that is it. Yep, I can still play that.
And you also could probably play the beginning of like, making my way downtown, the Vanessa Carlton. Yeah.
So we have a lot of cutting between Big on the bike and Lily playing, and he's definitely going to die.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't like this. I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, he sends a text that they should go tonight. He then immediately drops his phone in the shower, and it all starts going very badly.
Yeah, I just have like, okay, I know what's happening. No, Big, stop. And if you see Carrie's like swirling her ring in the audience, so it's like,
gotcha, yeah.
It's her wedding ring that she's like playing with. And then you see Big's left arm, like he's like feeling pain in the left arm. Is it left arm? Yeah.
Yes.
Or right, left arm. And I just wrote, here it goes, F word. I'm not going to.
Yeah, we get outside of the auditorium where Stanford needs to stay at Carrie's, but already has a key. He refers to Anthony has a sourdough Mussolini.
And she says Carrie's old apartment, which, you know, I'm like, oh, cool. We'll see that place again. Yeah, this is when we discover that MSM is in Times Square, apparently.
Yeah. Carrie, did you notice something about Carrie? We do have a little bit of character evolution here. Did you catch this?
Is she smoking? Not smoking?
No, but she does not yell for a taxi.
Oh, yes, I did notice this because I looked for her. It was like, oh, there's her hand, goes up. Is she going to yell for one? But what I like about Carrie Bradshaw is she is taking a taxi. She's not Ubering, which feels very Carrie.
Yeah,
Carrie would not Uber
Carrie.
Or Lyft.
Yeah, she wouldn't know how to make that work on her phone.
No, I don't really. You and I are not big Uber lifters. We're cab.
Barely. I have the app, so I have done it before.
Yeah.
But very, very infrequently.
We're traditionalists.
So she gets home, and I meant to bring this up actually when she was looking at her shoes, that I liked that we had a little bit of the movie theme music that played. And then we have that here too. I said she gets home and we get more of the movie theme music.
One thing I wanted to say in the beginning that I didn't say is they do a few things of like big mentions. It's so weird that you're talking about fish. I remember when you used to keep your sweaters in the oven. And there's like a few things that I'm like, okay, that's a bit on the nose with like bringing it back to old school Sex and the City. However, I have to remember that for a lot of people, they haven't done anything Sex and the City related since the second movie, if they watch that. You and I have been talking about this show since 2017. So for us, we're like, yeah, that just happened. It didn't just happen. So I had to remember that too.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. And with that line where I was like, we get it. She keeps her sweaters in the sofa. But yeah, you are correct that not everyone like has been living and breathing this show for the past few years.
And as someone who recently moved to the Upper East Side in a studio apartment, I have thought of putting my sweaters in the stove. There's not a lot of space.
Not a lot of space. So Big is on the floor, but alive. And we get a John.
Mm-hmm.
And I just say it's an interesting moment as they see each other. And this scene is very, I don't want to use the word interesting again, but the way they've chosen to have this play out, you know, she yells his name and runs over, and part of me just wants her to get on her phone and call 911. But at the same time, I found this to be so effective. And I want to give a lot of credit to Sarah Jessica Parker. Like, I just think that she's so, her emotionality and like the way that she plays it was so well done, and all the stuff within the shower and with the shoes. And I just thought there was that part of it that's like, no, call, like, why haven't you called 911? But I'll give up that precision for the prose. Like, I thought that the poetry of the scene was really, really beautifully done.
Yeah. One of our listeners who is a nurse who I know, was like, I was thinking, why isn't she calling 911? Why isn't she doing this? Why isn't she doing that? And I was wondering in that moment when he does have that moment where we realize he is still alive, because I'm not sure if he would be. I was wondering, is that real? Like, is that?
Oh, I wonder.
Like, is that real, or is that him just like, you know, kind of like spirit big coming to say, which is why she didn't do anything. Like, was he actually alive, or was, because I think, I mean, I'm not an expert on heart attacks, but I assume it's pretty quick. And if that was happening while she was still in Times Square, like, I'm wondering if he would have been.
Interesting. I'd love to hear more about that from Michael Patrick King. I wonder if he'll ever talk about that.
Because I do think she would have called right away, because she has that moment where she's just standing there looking at him. And why would she look? And hearing him, I don't know if it was weird for you, but hearing him say John, too, was like,
yeah.
Oh, and watching the water and those shoes was,
yeah,
that symbolism.
So even if we don't buy into the theory of Spirit John, I will let go of any of my arguments about the way it's handled just because of how beautifully it was filmed and shot. And if I don't go all the way to Spirit John, what I did think was that their connection is so strong that moment was him saying to her, I am not going to live. And it was her seeing he's leaving. He is nothing that I can do is going to stop him from dying.
Spirit John.
So whichever way you want to look at it. It didn't bother me. So, and just like that, Big died. And for the record, that was our first narration.
Right, it was, which was what I noticed. And also, I'm just sitting there like, I love that. Like, I love how simple it was and how it was just like that. And then part of me was like, is this the new way that I just start breaking really awful news to people?
Yeah, because there was part of me that thought, like, and just like that, he was gone. Or just like that, like, to use the word died felt so, but I think that must have been the purpose.
Right.
I feel like the word died is such a gut punch that I think they wanted to leave you with that, the harshest way they could possibly say it. And then, did you recognize the song as it started to play?
No.
So it's You've Got the Love.
I was in shock.
Yeah. The song You've Got the Love by The Source featuring Candy Staton starts playing. And it's the song that plays over the credits of the series Sex and the City finale. The last episode ended with this song. And I thought the idea of using the same song that sort of signified Big and Carrie finally getting together to also end the episode where they were parting, I thought was a very, very interesting and effective choice.
Yeah, it's, you know, a friend of mine reached out and said, what if Samantha shows up at the funeral and we've all just been like, that's their secret that they're keeping.
Oh, that would be amazing. I don't think it's going to happen, but that would be incredible.
Yeah, and just like that, Big died. And I was shocked in that moment. Not shocked. I knew he was going to die. I just knew it. We all knew it. A lot of people knew it. But I didn't think it was going to be this soon. I thought that he was going to have a heart attack. I didn't think it was going to kill him in episode one. But, you know, it makes sense because it's Sex and the City. And if we're going to have a show and we're going to explore dating in your 50s in 2021, someone needs to be dating in their 50s. And I know there's been a lot of internet speculation about what happens with Miranda. But, you know, I think having Carrie date as a widow, you know, will be interesting. But man, it was tough. But I was just like, and just like that.
Yeah, it was pretty even because when we talked about, I think it was in our little mini episode that we threw out theories of what was going to happen. And I brought up the fact that I thought that there was every chance that Big was not going to survive the series. I didn't know it was going to happen in the first episode, but I thought there was a good chance that he wasn't going to get all the way through it. But it still, even as I thought it was going to happen, I still was just like, holy mackerel. Like it was a lot.
Holy mackerel. Never heard Mike Jensen say that.
So, Just quick notes on the end credits. So we don't have an opening credit sequence, which means that we put our credits at the end, and it still does signify who is going to be considered a major character as opposed to who isn't. And I will say that basically the people that got added to the main credits are just all of our returning favorites and Sada.
Okay.
So opening credits had, Willie Garson and David Eichenberg and Evan. I always want to say Evan Handler now.
Evan
Hansen. No, wrong way. Other way. Yeah. Evan Hansen, not Evan Handler. Ugh, every time.
Evan
it's
Handler.
Your fault.
You want to say Evan Hansen.
Yeah, I want to say Evan Hansen. Evan
Handler.
Let's
just make it easier and call him Dear Evan Handler.
Perfect.
He will be found.
That won't be confusing at all to me. And then it does end with Sada Ramirez and Chris Noth. So I don't know if he gets the and for the one episode or if we'll see him in flashback or something in the future, but
or
he gets the and.
You know, I had this weird thought, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but they say Big died. They don't say John died. They say Big died. So what if maybe this heart attack just really humbles John so that he is no longer Mr. Big and he's just a man who needs a lot of help?
He's just John. It's a real swing you're going for there. So, yeah. But who knows?
How are you doing that, John? I had to do it.
It. All right. Well, I couldn't help but wonder, what the hell is going on with Miranda?
I mean, I think we know, but
I hate to say that I want it to be a drinking problem, but at least that would explain it. Like, that was a nutty episode for her, for me to watch.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard to tell because, like I said, I've been avoiding as much as I can avoid, but I can't avoid everything. And there's been memes and such, and I'm sure she's dealing with some sexuality issues, maybe a lot of people struggled with addiction during the pandemic because,
true,
you know, when you're left alone with yourself locked up for 2 years, if you were kind of borderline on a few things, you may find out that you've got some problems. So yeah, I mean, I couldn't help but wonder, oh, I should have thought about this. Why is this a surprise for me?
It's been a while. We didn't even do these with the movies, I don't think. So
yeah, I mean, I was wondering if we were going to just do like a, and just like that, I thought. And just like that, I couldn't help but wonder, did Big actually die? I don't know.
Good one.
I don't
all
know.
Right, we'll see.
I don't really
stay
know.
Stay tuned. All right. Well, this was a big episode. Going forward, it looks like all the episodes are going to be about this length. So we'll do our best to give you a recap with our thoughts without breaking an hour.
Yes. And I do want to say two housekeeping things before I go. I'll call these Magda's moments. Get it? Oh, housekeeping? I just came up with that. So Magda
moment number one.
Magda moment number one. We know that both episodes have released, but because Mike and I want to make sure to have consistent podcast episodes for you continuing even over the holidays, we're only going to release this one on 12/12/21, and then episode two will be the following week. So keep a lookout for us on Sundays. Number two, we like doing this. We want to keep doing this. The problem is that we don't make money from doing this. But when we first started doing this, it was a show from 20 years ago, and we were having a great time. Now it's a show in 2021. So a lot of people are going to be watching this. You're listening to it because you like us. Share it with your friends. I know we say this in the beginning, but share it on Instagram. Let your friends know. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I think I got us up on Spotify, so we should be there in the near future. Leave reviews wherever you can. Subscribe. Tell everyone. Tell all your friends during the holidays. Because, and just like that, we could be doing some more stuff for you, but we just got to, you know, work brunch right now. So
yeah,
if we don't have to work brunch, we can make so much more content.
So this in general will end up coming out 10 days after the episode has been on HBO. It's just kind of the best that we could do as far as we don't get these ahead of time. So we're watching them when you do. Not this one. This will be 3 days after. But in general, going into the future, it'll be 10 days behind. But it gives people plenty of time to watch the episode and get ready to listen to us. And hopefully you're all looking forward to it. And we're looking forward to continuing the journey.
Yeah. And if you're not already, follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder. And Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And you can find us on Facebook too. We're not super active there, but usually what I post on Instagram goes over there. I know Mike says all this, but I wanted to get it in the real podcast because I think it's important stuff.
All right. So we'll be back next week with episode two.
Oh, wait. There wasn't a clown table. I looked for it. She didn't bring the clown to the new house, but maybe it'll be at her old house still.
I think that Louise from St. Louis got rid of that clown table when she remodeled in the movie.
That's why I couldn't help but wonder. Is the clown table still with us? Or did it go into the spirit world with John?
We'll keep our eyes open.
Mic drop.
Bye.
Bye.
For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back next week with Little Black Dress.
I do want to say something now that we got through the episode and you're not going to yell at me. When I was in college, I had to move out of my apartment. It was the day I had to move out of my student apartment, and I had just seen Grey Gardens on Broadway. And I was back in Michigan, and I was obsessed with Grey Gardens. I also had not discovered at this point in my life that I could not drink safely. So instead of packing all my belongings that needed to happen, I convinced my best friends to dress me up as Edie Beale and just walk around the apartments and visit all my friends. So that's amazing. And I just
a little Edie Beale story. Yeah.